Massive wall.
Every time. Well, let me back up. I taught a preacher boys class years ago in Bible Institute and had one of the young preachers there. He said, "I got to ask you a question." I said, "What's that?" He says, "When do you quit being nervous as a preacher?" I said, "Probably right before you mess up." Last month, March, I think it marked 37 years that I've been preaching, and I am terrified to this day every time I get in the pulpit. And I feel more intimidated than normal because I usually, you don't do this or whatever I'm trying to say, but I had a different message that I thought the Lord was leading tonight, and until you got up, and then you got up, and I'm terrified to mess up. But I want you to take your Bible and go over there to Isaiah chapter 43, where Brother Gibson was at. It's been good to be with Brother Gibson. Just got to meet him a couple, 3 years ago, and I think this is 3 or 4 meetings we've been in together and enjoy his fellowship. Been good to get to be with Brother Zach and get to know him a little bit. And but I want to preach towards down the end of the chapter, but that verse that he talked about there in verse number 2, where he said, "When thou passest through the waters," and then he said, "When thou walkest through the fire." How many of you, be honest, when you got saved, you thought you weren't going to have any more problems?
Amen.
How'd that work out for you? He did not say, if you pass through the waters, or if you walk through the fire. He said, when?
Right.
Now, it's been said that everybody is in one of three categories. You're either just going into a storm, just coming out of a storm, or you're in one right now. I heard that there was a preacher, and I won't mention his name because I disagree with 99% of everything that he ever said or did. But he had a radio program, and I had heard that he closed his radio program by saying, "Be kind to everybody because everybody's having a hard time." And I thought that was very charismatic and cliche-ish and all that. But the older I get, the more that I realize that folks go through things.
Amen, brother.
They do.
We have no idea of everything that everybody in this room is going through,
right,
even right now.
That's right.
Oh, we pray for each other, Brother Craig. I mean, we share prayer requests. I'm going to tell you, you may share prayer requests with people, but you know as well as I do, you ain't telling them everything.
Yeah. Come on now.
And people may share prayer requests with you, and you know, amen, don't think they're telling you everything.
That's right.
And people go through hard times, and it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
That's right.
But if you will go down to the end of that, well, not really the end. We'll split the difference and go to the middle. Verse 13. He says, "Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." Mm-hmm. And look what he says there. "I will work, and who shall let it?" Mm-hmm. Now, Father, you know I need your help. And Lord, I don't pretend to be a great preacher. And Lord, there's it just amazes me. Lord, where you put me. And God, I pray, Father, that you would help me now in these next few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
There's a word there in verse number 13, and it's a dirty four-letter word in society today, and it's become a dirty word in Christianity today, and that word is work. Work. I have never seen a time in American society where we have more jobs than we've ever had and more people out of work than we've ever had.
Uh-huh. Come on now.
I travel the country. Brother Dale travels the country. Brother Gibson travels the country. I know business owners all over this country in churches, and they can't get anybody to work for them. There's a contractor about 50 miles from here, a church I preach in over at Buck Settlement. They got two contractors in that church. And both of those men have told me I could put five crews together today if I had workers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
Have you ever said this? Lord, will you work in my life? Anybody ever said that? Did he work in ways that you kind of like, well, he's working, but that ain't how I was thinking.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, you wanted God to do something, amen, but when you said, Lord, would you work, you wanted to go to the mailbox, amen, and there's an envelope you wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And it was a piece of paper that said, pay to the order of. And it was some crazy, that's how you wanted God to work. But sometimes, God's working, but there ain't no check involved.
Come on, brother.
Oh, that's right.
There ain't no new car involved. There's heartache.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Sorrow.
Right.
Hard time.
Yes.
Trial. Fire, storm.
Amen.
You better be careful when you say, Lord, work. Because he may take you up on that.
Yes, sir.
But it ain't going to be no miraculous, amen, wild ride through the air on a unicorn,
right,
amen. It's going to be full of misery and heartache and sorrow. Well, you say, well, why would God work that way and not this way? Well, go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I got to looking at that word work and studying it out through the scripture. Can I tell you tonight, God wants to work in your life.
Amen.
More than you even realize it, and probably even more than you want him to.
That's right.
Exactly.
You look at somebody like Brother Gibson and his background, his testimony, you say, man, God did a great work. But you don't have to have a testimony like him to say that God did a great work. You can look at somebody like Brother Zach, grow up in church, dad's a preacher, amen, and he didn't get out there and all that kind of stuff, and God works in his life.
Amen.
Amen. It's not the what, amen. It's not the circumstances. It's not the situation. It's not, amen, it has to be bad or it has to be good. No, it has to be him, amen. And if he is doing the work, then let's let him do it, amen. But listen, God wants to work in us. And part of God working in us is that God has to work on us.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
That'll work.
Guess what? You might be saved, but you're still a piece of clay.
Amen.
You're still a piece of dirt. Your heart is still deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. One of the biggest things killing our Baptist churches today is Pharisees. Amen.
Uh-huh.
Think that we got saved, we think we're better than anybody else. And we're better. Hey, you ain't any better than anybody.
Yeah.
Amen. Saved or lost, you are no better than anybody else in this room, in this town, in this county. Amen. We are no better.
Amen.
Go ahead, preacher.
Amen.
God wants to work in us. He wants to work on it. He wants to work through us. He wants to do a work where we're just the conduit for Him doing it. And a lot of times, in order for that to happen, He has to work us over. Guess what? You know what your biggest problem is? You.
Amen. Amen.
Your biggest problem is you. Hey, listen. Husbands, your biggest problem is not your wife.
Right.
I don't care what situation it is. Your biggest problem is not your wife. Wives, your biggest problem is not your husband.
Right.
Kids, your parents are not the problem.
Right.
Parents, your kids ain't the problem.
Right.
Amen. We have met the enemy and he is us.
Amen.
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 I think of all the problems that I've had over my life and the struggles that I've had. And I mean, we were talking earlier, you know, the first few years of our marriage, amen, were not the greatest years of our marriage. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was 100% the fault of me.
Go ahead, brother.
Not her.
Right.
We were doomed from the start. Adam gave every husband that ever lived the greatest excuse, amen. Lord, the woman thou gavest me. That is not our problem. Amen. You say, well, Brother Craig, I'm saved. Okay, so your biggest problem is a saved you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
He says it. I've said the same thing. This did not get regenerated.
That's right, brother.
When you got saved, your flesh did not get saved.
That's right, brother.
That is right.
How many of you ever just, amen, maybe you're driving down the road. I mean, you just as saved as the Apostle Paul. You're driving down the road. And then somebody cuts you off. And you have, I mean, you were not wishing that somebody would witness to
him. Amen.
You're thinking in your mind, man, if there was no such thing as police and tickets and insurance and repair bills, what could I get? I mean, we all want to have the Batmobile. We want to flip a switch and the oil slick sends them out into the field and the nails come down and blows all their tires. And then you think to yourself, and then you come to us, oh man, what where did that thought come from? I'll tell you where that thought came
That's
from.
Right.
Your evil, wicked heart. Amen. We all still have.
Yeah, amen.
That's good preaching, brother. Come on.
You'd be sitting there reading your Bible and you could have the most evil, wicked, ungodly thought come across your mind while you're reading your Bible. It did not come from anybody except your own wicked heart. Hey, church people, your pastor's not the problem.
Right.
Come on.
Yep.
Maybe you teach a Sunday school class. Hey, your Sunday school teachers aren't the problem and the Sunday school kids ain't the problem.
Right.
Go look in the mirror.
Amen.
You are looking at your problem.
Right.
Now see, that was totally free. You didn't have to lay down on a couch. You didn't have to pay a guy $150 an hour to tell you that. You had to come to church and have a preacher tell you that you are your biggest problem. Quit blaming everybody and everything else.
Right.
Well, I mean, I sort of agree with you, but I got an unsaved heathen boss. He's not your problem.
Right. Amen.
He's not your problem. God wants to work in our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
God has ordained his children to walk in a lifestyle that he himself has fashioned and worked out. And he has ordained us to do good works. We do not work to get saved. We work because we are saved.
Amen.
We work for him because he's worked on us. Go over to Philippians chapter 1, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath
begun
a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hey, guess what? There has to be a starting point. It's called salvation.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm convinced this. A lot of times people wonder why God ain't working it out for them. It's because he hadn't begun the work yet. Because they ain't saved. They ain't saved. If you think a majority of the Baptist churches in America today preach the gospel, you are wrong.
That's right.
They preach a perverted gospel.
Yeah, that's right.
They preach a gospel that's made of works. Listen, amen. They preach a gospel that Paul never preached,
right.
That John never preached,
yeah, right.
That none of the apostles ever preached.
Yeah.
They preach it, and if you preach repentance, then you're preaching works for salvation, and that's not Bible.
Amen.
Hey, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Amen. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Well, what about believe? They're two sides of the same coin. If you can't do one without the other.
Amen.
And there's people all over sitting in there. Hey, listen, salvation is not a profession. Salvation is a possession. Amen. It is not a ritual, it's a relationship.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You want to know what? You want to know why people, listen, what a lot of preachers' problem is, Brother Asquith? They have lost confidence in the changing power of the gospel.
Yes.
They feel like they have to use modern methods and modern terminology and modern messages. We can't just let the Holy Ghost do the work. We have to make sure.
Come on.
We got a great example in our church, young man. We had 1 year ago this week, we were in a meeting in our church. God laid it on my heart to have a 2-week meeting. And we went Sunday to Friday, Sunday to Friday. And that 2-week meeting turned into a 3-week meeting. Now, I'm not talking about just garbage revivals that are months long that we see in our Baptist circles today where you know, 13,000 people get saved and you know, all this kind of stuff. Those were not revivals. Those were marketing schemes is all those were. Okay, Asbury was not a revival, okay? Don't be fooled by Fox News telling all these stories the last few days about these thousands of people getting saved on college campuses all across America. All they're talking about is baptism. Amen. There's not one report of repentance and faith and all that kind of stuff. And I'll go ahead and throw Burlington in there while I'm at it. No difference.
That's exactly right.
But we had a young man that started coming a month to our church before that meeting. And I preached for years and years and years that the Holy Ghost is the best altar worker there is. And Brother Asquith, every time this young man, after a couple of weeks, he'd come to the altar. And I had 100%, Brother Cook, I had 100% pure intention of just saying, you know, is there anything I could help you with? Anything I could pray with you? And every time he'd come to the altar, and every time I went to do that, here's what the Holy Ghost said, Brother Gibson. Leave him alone. I'm not, listen, I've done it other times. I've gone up and I've talked with people during all, I'm not against it, amen, if the Holy Ghost leads you.
That's right.
But I'm just telling you, plain as day, God said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. And God turned that meeting into a two-week, that two-week meeting in the third week. And on Tuesday night of the third week, here comes Fisher. This was new. He came during the singing. Not at the end, after the preaching. And I thought, well, this is different. And I'm like, and the Lord said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. So we had a service and preaching. And after the service, he come up to me and he said, I got to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, I got saved tonight.
Praise the Lord.
God did not need my help.
Amen.
I like that man.
And this torques most Baptist preachers. I did not say, well, what'd you do? What'd you say? Did you mean it? All I said was, well, tell me about it.
Right.
He said, it's just faith. I didn't say, did you pray? Did you confess?
Right.
And I didn't believe in repentance, but I didn't even ask him if he repented. I just said, tell me about it. He said, it's just believe it. And you say, well, you said it. I just chalked it up to God's bigger. And he's big enough. And if he didn't get saved, God was big enough to tell him eventually, hey,
that's right. That's right.
Say, well, did he get saved? Well, it's a year later. He's faithful every service. A month ago, he got home from going on a missions trip to the Philippines for a month. He more saved than I am because I got no desire to go to the Philippines. My idea of a missions trip is New York, Texas, St. Lucia, Germany. I got no desire to go to the Philippines. I'm not eating duck eggs and all that kind of stuff. You know how one of the biggest ways to tell whether somebody's salvation is real? When they start getting brokenhearted over lost relatives.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Amen.
2 weeks after that, he says, can I talk to you in your office? I said, yeah. He came in the office. I said, what's going on? He said, I got lost family members going to hell.
That's good.
Praise the Lord.
That gave me assurance of his salvation.
I like it.
Not, well, did you pray? Did you say the right words?
Come on.
I said all that to say this. You know what happened? God began a work in him. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, you got to pray for someone, so you know they just need to get right with God, and all that. They probably just need to get saved.
Come on, brother.
Because there was no beginning.
Right.
Come on.
It says, "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it." Yeah. He'll do it.
Yes.
I listen. I've been saved 42 years. Been preaching 37 years. And I have been pastoring coming up on 6 years, and I know very little, but if there's one thing God has taught me in the last 10 years, it's this. When God works on people, it lasts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're right.
Baptists are known for their little rules. We preach on our little do's and don'ts and all this kind of stuff. And we got to get them to outwardly conform.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm telling you, when we started having people visit our church after I became the pastor, we had people that came. The man had earrings. I never preached one sermon on men wearing earrings.
Good for you.
He had his own rock band. He couldn't even hardly make it to church on Sunday because Saturday nights he was playing in bars. Mm-hmm. He said, well, he needed to get saved. I'm convinced with all my heart. This man was as saved as anybody else. He got solid testimony of salvation. You say, well, how could he be saved and have a rock band? Well, how could you be saved and do what you do? Rock music's not the problem.
Right.
Brother Morgan, you know how many messages I preached on rock music after he started coming? None.
Mm-hmm. Good
for you. Not one message. Oh, I might have popped it once in a great while. But I know some preachers, amen, they start a 10-week sermon series on songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. And guess what? You're going to preach it right out of the church.
Amen.
You'll never be used with God to help them. God will never get a hold of their heart. You will just get a hold of their outside, and they'll be right back at it the second they're gone.
Amen.
That's preaching.
But I've learned if you just preach the Bible, and you preach living for God, and you preach a relationship with God, I'm going to tell you, he will make changes in people's lives that you can't even come up with.
Yeah, that's good.
I never preached a single message on rock music. I never did all this. He was coming to the church about, 6-7 months. My phone rings at 5:30 in the morning. I'm driving down to Interstate 95 to the Portland airport, catch a plane, go preach a meeting somewhere. He says, I got to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, I told the guys in the band last night, I'm done. I told them they got to find somebody else. I said, oh, really? He said, it just ain't no fun no more.
Uh-huh. Oh, brother. Amen.
God did the work.
That's right. Yeah.
About a month or two after he quit the rock band, the earrings disappeared. You say, well, you should have handled that differently. Shut up.
Yeah.
Problem in our Baptist church is we got too many Baptist preachers that are handling it. And they wonder why, man, they just quit coming.
Yeah. And
they quit coming because you're an idiot.
Right.
Everything in a person's life is in direct correlation with their relationship with God. Amen. And if you can get people to try to get a relationship with God and let Him do the work.
Amen.
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 That's right.
I want them to wear a tie to church, but I want them to wear a tie because God told them to wear a tie.
That's right.
I don't want them singing rock music, but I want God to tell them to quit it.
Amen.
Let God do the work.
Amen.
I didn't let him get up and sing a special. But I'm going to tell you right now, this past Sunday, he got up and sang a special before I preached. You know what he sang? Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Glory to God.
Man, God put a spirit in that place. I couldn't wait to get up and preach. It was just so sweet.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And God is telling us, I will do the work.
That's right.
I'll do the work. God does not. Here's our problem. Well, God just taking too long. Now listen, don't get me wrong. You don't think it's frustrating? When you know what they need to be doing, because of the Bible, it's not man-made standards, it's God just flat out, black and white, in God's Word, and you know they shouldn't be doing it. But you know what? You just keep preaching.
Right.
Just keep getting them to Jesus. Amen. 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 There's way too many ministries built around men.
Right.
Way too many ministries built on man's and man's methods.
Right.
When people leave New Life Baptist Church of Dover Fischcroft, Maine, I could not care less if they say, what a preacher. But if they could walk out of that church saying, what a God.
Amen.
What a Savior. We were talking about tonight about preaching, and Brother Gibson said, you know, I don't have to preach, and I don't care. There was a day I did have to. I did care. I mean, if I was scheduled to preach and I didn't preach, I would get mad. I mean, and we've all been in meetings, amen, where we know we had the next message. I mean, we had, the moderator messed up. He should have called us. We had the message. People do not need to walk away from church hearing us.
That's right.
They need to walk away from church hearing God.
Right.
And it don't matter if God speaks through the preacher, through a singer, through a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling a story about a place that tried to get him for a year and a half. Finally, after a year and a half, they waited for him. He finally was able to get there. Well, the first preacher God touched and God used, and he didn't preach. And the pastor got mad because he wouldn't preach. People come to see the show. I know one preacher, if he don't click his heels 30 times while he's preaching, people get mad that I came to hear him, see him click his heels, and he didn't. I'm mad. You're so messed up. Your priorities are so out of whack. It ain't even funny. God has to do the work. If he don't do it, number one, it ain't going to get done. And number two, whatever we do is not going to last.
That's right.
I'm convinced with all my heart I could have preached 10 weeks on rock music, but I wouldn't have needed to because they'd have left.
Right.
They'd have left.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, in 5 years of that couple coming to our church, amen,
yeah.
Their growth has been like this.
Oh, glory to
God.
I had one of the guys in the church, he said, well, you know he's still in the rock. He said, what are you going to let him do? He's still in the rock. I said, I ain't going to do nothing. I said, and furthermore, I ain't going to say nothing. And thirdly, I said, if you say something, I'll church you.
Good.
Man, we've seen people put lives together.
Oh, I love it. Amen.
We had a couple that was coming. I mean, they were not headed for divorce court. They had an appointment.
Right. You're right, brother.
And she asked me, can you please meet us at the courthouse tomorrow? We're going to sign the paperwork. We're going to sign the final divorce papers. I said, yeah. I ain't got time to tell the whole story, but all I know is I went through that courthouse doors, got to the third floor, and the elevator doors opened. They did not know I was coming, and they were standing there. They were getting ready to go do something else. They were standing there holding hands, and they both had smiles on their faces. I walked off the elevator, and I said, so what happened here? They said, we called it off.
Amen.
3 years and two more children later, I think they reconciled. But here, there's a key to this, and I'll close with this. Go back over to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. He says there, verse number 13, yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. And look what he says, I will work, and who shall let it? Now, that word let has a negative and a positive definition to it. It's like the word quit in the Bible.
Right. You're right.
Now, like in that verse, quit you like men. He's not saying quit being a man.
Right.
He's saying be a man.
Yeah.
And that word let means two things. Number one, it means to allow, and it means to hinder. Mm-hmm. Right. So he's saying, I will work. Who will let me work? You know, God is standing there saying, I want to work in somebody's life. Who's going to let me work in their life? Listen, he doesn't have to work in your life. If you don't want him to work in your life, he's not going to be under any obligation to work in your life.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he's saying, I will work. Who's going to stop me from working?
Yeah, that's good.
Who's going to stop me from working?
Yeah, that's good.
Do you realize that it is within our power to stop him from doing what he wants to do and accomplish in our life? You say, how is that possible for us to do that? Well, go over to Isaiah chapter 64. We find out how it's possible. Isaiah chapter 64, look in verse number 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. You know how you can stop God from working in your life? Get off the potter's wheel. Just don't present yourself as a piece of clay that you are. That's where he does his work. You say, why does he do his work there? Because it takes time, it takes pressure, takes heat, takes hands. And that's where you want to know where God does his work? He does the work on the potter's wheel. You got to get up there. You got to get up there. And guess what? The clay does not dictate to the potter what it will be made into.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Come on. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll jump up there as long as he makes me a big, huge, beautiful vase that everybody looks at and adores. Well, he might make you a little coffee cup. Mm. Now, I don't know about you, but in my house, a little coffee cup gets used a whole lot more than a vase. Vase just looks pretty standing in the corner. Coffee cup in my house is going to get used.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Just because it's bigger and looks better doesn't mean it's more practical.
That's good.
That's
right. Just let God, let God make you into what he wants you to be.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a great example, but I am a good example of fighting what God wants to make you into. I swore all my life. I thank God that he called me into evangelism. I said, the Bible says, whoever desireth the office of a bishop is an idiot. That's in the Greek. All these years of travel, I thank God. God called me an evangelist. I get to come in, preach, and leave. And God says, okay, I fix you. And God put me up there in that church in Maine. And the fact that God called Craig Cobb to pastor a church is 100% living proof God has a sense of humor. I still chuckle at that. Brother Moore, you've been up there several times. Amen. I look out my front window and I see that white church building sitting there. And I mean, I'm talking 6 years now. I look at that building and I say, I'm pastoring a church in Maine? Lord, that's funny. I can't help it. That's funny to me. It ain't too funny for them, I'm sure. I promise you that. But you want to know what? God says, you know what that is? That's me working in you. That's me working in you. Ain't no doubt that's God working, amen, because that would not be what I would have picked. That, that, would not be what I would have picked. I will work, he says. Who will let it? Who's going to let me? Who's going to stop me? Is it always fun? No. A month before I became the pastor up there, the pastor directed the treasurer to start sending me the weekly financial report. I would look at one number on the top, and that was the current balance of the checkbook after all the bills were paid. And Brother Cook, here's what I said. Dear God, what am I getting myself into? The last financial report, the week before I took the church, after all the bills were paid. Now, thank God they were paid. There was $148 in the church checkbook.
Wow.
Here's another proof it was God. Never one time did I ever ask the pastor, what are they planning on doing for me?
That's right.
I never asked what my paycheck was going to be or if I was even going to get one. I had one guy, sorry, Joker, I was traveling, I was in a meeting somewhere, he goes, oh, must be nice to be a double dipper. I said, I knew what he meant, but I wanted him to say it. I said, what do you mean a double dipper? He said, well, you get love offer traveling, you get a paycheck from the church. I said, I am. I said, somebody forgot to tell them that. I said, let me ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, could you survive on $400 a month? Well, no. I said, well, shut up then.
Right. That's right, man.
He said, what are you saying? God was working.
That's right.
God was working. I know some of that. I know a pastor right now. He was brought on staff. And before he quit his job to be on staff, he needed to know exactly how much he was going to get, what benefits were involved. That church was paying me that same position, $200 a month at the time. And he skated in. And all of a sudden, that $200 a month position went to a $50,000 a year position. People don't want to live by faith anymore.
That's right.
I'm not saying there's glory in being poor and all that kind. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying this. If God is working, you don't have to worry about the details. God will work out the details.
Amen.
Say, are they paying you now? How much are they paying you now? None of your business.
Amen.
I hope nobody from the church is watching, but nobody even in the church knows how much I get paid, except the treasurer. Because it's not an issue. God just works out the details. God just works out the details. If you will let him work.
Amen.
I promise you, in a crowd this size, there's probably more than one who you know God is trying to work in your life.
Come on.
And you are getting in his way.
Come on.
That's good, brother.
You're hindering him.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Quit hindering him. Because guess what? Do you know what you're doing by not letting God work out the details? You're trying to manipulate the situation.
Oh, that's right.
You're trying to arrange the outcome.
That's right.
It don't end well for you that way. You let him work out the details. Man, there's been so many times in my life where I have tried to create my own miracle. I'm serious. I know an evangelist right now, he thanks God for all the meetings he has. He's got no business thanking God for all the meetings he has. He needs to thank AT&T and Verizon for all the meetings he has. Because he's telemarketer by day and preacher at night. He'll burn them phones up. We're just going to be in the area. We want to come by and be a blessing to you. Translation, can you give us a check if we stop by?
Yeah.
I thank God in 23 years of evangelism, I've never made one phone call.
I've never asked one preacher,
can I come preach for you?
Amen.
The opening? It's not one time ever, never one time.
Amen.
I had a guy tell me, he said, you know, if you call, you'd have a better schedule. I said, probably. I said, but when I stand in a man's pulpit, I want to know God put me there, not
right.
me.
That's yeah. right, bro.
Not me.
That's right.
Man, I know guys, amen, if they have a cancellation, they will paste it, they will put it all over Facebook. Got this day open if anybody could use this. I never have understood that mentality.
That's
right. Not missionaries, I get it. Missionaries are different. Missionaries, I get it. But the Bible says promotion coming from the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, I had a pastor tell me one time, and he said, man, he says, I want to have you in. He says, but you never call me. I said, I ain't never going to call you.
That's right.
He said, well, I want to have you in. I said, well, my calendar's on my phone. When do you want me to come? Well, I'm going to have you in sometime. I mean, you don't want to have me. He said, well, I have this guy in because he calls me. And I have this guy in because he calls me. I said, praise God. Thank God you have him in.
That's right.
I'm sure they're a blessing, and it's a blessing to them. Have at it.
That's right.
I just know me too much. And I don't want to look back and say, well, look what I made happen.
That's right.
Look what I made happen. And then when God started filling the calendar up like crazy, that guy said, you must have taken my advice and started making phone calls. I said, nope. He said, are you telling me the phone just started ringing miraculously? Yep. Yeah. Because I let God do it.
Right.
I let God do it. Oh, don't worry. Don't think I've got it figured out. I'm telling you all the good stuff, amen. I don't want to stand up here and tell you all the ways I've hindered God working and all the ways I've messed him up from working in my life. But I am a testimony to this fact. I know what it's like to let him, and I know what it's like to hinder him. And it works far better when you let him.
Amen.
Amen.
Just let him work. And when you're letting them work, don't let them.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that verse. Let him work in your life, and while you're doing it, don't let him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hinder him. Allow him, don't hinder him.
That's right.
Father, I pray, God, that somehow some that was said tonight, Lord, the messages that have been preached, the songs that have been sung, whatever you choose to use because you know what people need. I pray, Father, that no matter what it was, that people would just submit to your leading and obey your wooing and your impressing on them what they need to do. And I pray, Father, for those that are here tonight that maybe are hesitant to let you work in their life, God, may they give it up and surrender and just get on that wheel and let you do your thing. In Jesus' name, amen.